Blog Talk Radio.
But if you shall forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in you. In other words, Yahweh ain't making you vow. Yahweh is not making you promise anything. Yahweh is not making you swear to anything. So why do it? Why would you go to the great length of swearing to Yahweh, promising to Yahweh, without the understanding, without the knowledge that what you're swearing and what you're promising, you're going to have to do? And oftentimes we swear and promise things in distress. And in that distress, we don't realize that oftentimes we're promising and swearing to things that if we had a sound mind, in other words, no distress at all, we probably would not swear or promise. But watch what it says. That which is gone out of your lips, you shall keep and perform, because you're promising. You're swearing not to man, not to one man, but to Elohim. Watch what it says. According as you have vowed unto Yahweh, your Elohim, which you have promised with your mouth. So this is how Yahweh see a vow. This is how important it is to him. And he's letting you know, if you don't vow, that's good, because then you don't have to worry about finding sin in you, because you're not strong enough to fulfill your vow. And when you're not, don't vow it, even if you find yourself in distress. It's still better not to do it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, the Hebrew word for vows come from the Hebrew word nadar, which is to bind your soul by promise, by swearing an oath. So it is very essential to understand what you're doing. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, let's see what this says. Again, in the 4th verse, when you vow unto Elohim, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. Better is it that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. And one might ask, well, what will happen if you don't pay your vows? Who knows what Yahweh will do? Sixth verse. Allow not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say you before the angel that it was an error. Why should Elohim be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hand? And that's what happens oftentimes when we promise and swear to Yahweh and then our hands are not blessed. We're trying to figure out why. Why I'm having all these issues. Why I'm having all these problems. Why am I going through all these trials and tribulations? What am I doing wrong of our mouth? Furthermore, still dealing with vials, the numbers. Numbers 30, which is the law. And this is, and Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. If a man vows a vow unto Yahweh, or swears an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Now watch the various instructions that Yahweh will give. Watch what it says in the third verse. If a woman also vows a vow unto Yahweh and binds herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. In other words, she's young. She's in her father's house, and she vows a vow. And her father hears her vow, and her bond with which she has bound her soul. Her father shall hold it at her, then all her vows shall stand. And every bond with which she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallows her in the day that he hears, might be many days later, not any of her vows or of her bonds with which she has bound her soul shall stand. And Yahweh shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. That's a woman in her youth, being in her father's house. But it continues on. Sixth verse. And if she had at all a husband when she vowed or uttered anything out of her lips with which she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, her bonds with which she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow, which she has vowed, and that which she has uttered with her lips, with which she bound her soul, of no effect, and Yahweh shall forgive her. So in other words, the man, the father, has power over his house, whether it be his daughter or whether it be his wife. The husband has power just to disallow his wife vows in which he hears or let it stand. Likewise with his daughter. But it continues on. The ninth verse. Watch what it says. But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, with which they have bound her soul, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond with which she bound her soul shall stand. And you might ask, well, how will a father know? How will a husband know? Because certain things people do when they make vows, and then it comes to the knowledge of the husband or the father. Why are you doing this? Why are you not eating? Why are you not this? Why are you not that? What is this thing do you do? This is how they found out that a vow was made. 12 verse. But if her husband has utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vow or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and Yahweh shall forgive her. Every vow. Watch what it says. Every vow. Every binding oath to afflict the soul. Her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. And this should not be strange to any Israelite, because the husband is the ruler. He's the master. But if her husband altogether holds his at her from day to day, then he establishes all her vows or all her bonds which are upon her. He confirms them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. And watch what it says. But if he shall in any way make them void after that he has heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes which Yahweh commanded Moshe between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter, being yet in her youth, in her father's house. These are vows. This is how important vows are. And many vows, some vows are vows of condition. In other words, there's conditions based on these vows. And then there are vows, they're not predicated on any condition. They just a promise and an oath that you bind your soul to. For example, show you the difference between the vows. One is in the book of Numbers, the sixth chapter. In the book of Numbers, the sixth chapter, starting at the very first verse, this is what it says. And this is a vow that you would. There's no conditions predicated on this vow. You make it, and you have to keep it. Numbers 6 and 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto Yahweh, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar wine or vinegar strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days are fulfilled, in which he separates himself unto Yahweh, he shall be holy, and shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow. All the days that he separates himself unto Yahweh, he shall come at no dead body. In other words, this is part of the conditions in making a vow of a Nazarite. He should not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his Elohim is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto Yahweh. So when you make a vow of a Nazarite, you can't go and you find out your father died, your mother died, and your days of your separation is not fulfilled. You can't then go, my goodness, I didn't know my mama was going to die. I didn't know my daddy was going to die. And I got to see them one more time. I got to pay my respects. I got to know. You made a vow, and Yahweh said, better is it that you don't vow than you vow and not pay it. For Yahweh never commanded, forced, or made you to vow anything. You did this of your own free will. So you have to do it. This is why vows are very important. Once you understand them, once you enter into a vow to Yahweh, you got to enter into it with the understanding you will pay it. For this is the law. And then there are vows that are predicated on conditions. Just like we read a vow that you make straight up is not based on conditions. You just binded your soul to do it. Let me just read a couple other things where somebody binded their soul. One is in the book of Psalm 132. Without no conditions. In the book of Psalms 132. And watch what it says in the very first verse. Yahweh, remember David and all his affliction. How he swore to Yahweh and vowed unto the mighty Elohim of Yaakov. And this is what he vowed. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for Yahweh a habitation for the mighty Elohim of Yaakov. So David said, I'm not going up to my bed, nor will he go into the tabernacle of his house. In other words, the most comfortable place where he can get the best sleep he can get. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sleep somewhere where I know I'm not going to be comfortable, where I know my eyelids, they're closed and open right back up, because I'm not getting any rest. I'm not getting any sleep. So he vowed and said, I'm going to do this until I find this place for Yahweh. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Yahweh, into your rest, you in the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, turn not away the face of your anointed. Yahweh has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Other fruit of your body will I set upon your throne. So this is what David vowed. Watch what it says in Psalm 76. In the book of Psalm 76, the 11th verse, Psalm 76 and 11, this is what it says. Vow and pay unto Yahweh, your Elohim. Because vows is to the Most High. Let all that are round about him bring presents to him that ought to be feared. In other words, the only one that ought to be feared is the Most High. But for some reason, we don't think so. So we give Yahweh no gifts. You have many say, well, you can't pay tithes. So they don't give him that. And since they said you can't pay tithes, and Yahweh said you rob me in tithes and offerings, they don't get that. Then they will come up with terms of their own that's not even in the scriptures, called donations. They will give Yahweh a donation. Do Yahweh look like the poor to you, where you would give him a donation? Yahweh don't need your donations. Yahweh don't need donors. Because that's what a donation is, from some type of donor. And Yahweh don't need donors. He have what he want. He told you what he will accept, tithes and offerings, and your various vows. Watch what he said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, and this is what it says. The 9th verse. But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Yahweh Yolin gives you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safely, then there shall be a place which Yahweh Yolin shall choose, cause his name to dwell there. And who chose that place? Yahweh. Who found it? David. Watch what it says. There shall you bring all that I command you. Your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hands, and all your choice vows which you vow unto Yahweh. And this is your choice vow, not just any vow. And this is your yearly tithes, and not your third year tithes. I just want to make that crystal clear. We will deal with that a little bit more later. Furthermore, still dealing with your vow. In the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter, this is what it says. And then we will get into vows of condition. They're predicated on certain conditions. But in the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter, this is what it says. The very first verse. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for Yahweh by your estimation. Your estimation shall be other male, from 20 years old even to 60 years old. Even your estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it is a female, then your estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it is from 5 years old even to 20 years old, then your estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the male 10 shekels. And if it is from a month old even to 5 years old, then your estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female, your estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it is from 60 years old and above, and if it is a male, then your estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female, 10 shekels. But if he is poorer than your estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability. That vow shall the priest value him. These are vows. And this is your obligation when you make singular vows to Yahweh, then there was a price that you gave unto the sanctuary. But then there's vows of condition. And let me show you the very first vow we see in the scriptures. Well, not the very first one. Yeah, it might be the very first one, if I'm not mistaken. And you'll read it in the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. In the book of Genesis 28. And we're going to start reading at the 20th verse. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, and watch the condition. If Elohim will be with me, keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall Yahweh be my Elohim. What if Yahweh don't do that? What if Elohim don't do that? Well, if Elohim don't do that, then Elohim is not expecting you to do what you say. But if Elohim does this, watch what he said he would do in the 22nd verse. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be Elohim's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. So this is a vow to me unto Yahweh. And Yahweh not only remembers the vow, Yahweh hears the vow, and watch what he says to Jacob concerning his vow in the book of Genesis 31. The 13th verse. I am the Elohim of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you vowed a vow unto me. Now arise, get you out from this land, and return to the land of your kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which Elohim has taken from our father and our children. Now then, whatever Elohim has said unto you, do. And this is what Jacob did. You also will find this conditional vow in the book of Numbers 21. Let us go there. Because there are vows that you will bind your soul to, and you just do it. You said it, you do it. But then there are vows of conditions. If Yahweh, you do this, I will do that. And that's what we're dealing with today, or right now, vows of conditions. In the book of Numbers 21, starting at the very first verse, and when the king of Arad, the Canaanite, was dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel, took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto Yahweh. Watch what they said. And said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And Yahweh listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them. And the cities called the name of the place Hormah. This is what they did based on the conditions that was brought before them. Another conditional vow, vows of condition. Most seem to be good, but some seem to be very foolish. But whether they're foolish or whether they are good, you still got to pay, especially if they are conditions where Yahweh has fulfilled the words in which you spoke to him. Now, it is time for you to fulfill the words which you spoke to Yahweh. In the book, 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And watch this one. In the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter, and this is what it says. First verse. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Dain Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zuth, and Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Kanah, who you know as Hannah. The name of the other is other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Kanah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of Yahweh, were there. And when the time came that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But to Kanah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Kanah. But Yahweh has shut up her womb. Of course, the doctors will tell you your womb is shut up because of IBS. Your wound is shut up because of scar tissue. Your wound is shut up because of your tubes. Your womb is shut up because of this, because of that. But at the end of the day, it is Yahweh who shuts up the womb. Seventh verse. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of Yahweh, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her. And oftentimes people want to know, who is this she provoked her? Elkanah's other wife? Well, watch what it says. A verse. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Kanah, why weep you? And why eat you not? And why is your heart grieved? Am not I better to you? In other words, he knew that her wailing was just about her pregnancy, her inability to have child. So Kanah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of Yahweh, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto Yahweh, and wept tearfully. And she vowed a vow, saying, O Yahweh of hosts, it is the condition. If you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid man child, then I will give him unto Yahweh all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And this is a great vow, a deep vow for a woman that already didn't have children. Watch what it says. And it came to pass, praying before Yahweh, that Eli observed her mouth. Now, Connor, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, so she wasn't praying outwardly where you could hear. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you." And Connor answered and said, "No, my master. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But I poured out my soul before Yahweh. Count not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken till now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. And the Elohim of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him." And he didn't know what it was. He didn't know what she was asking. He didn't even ask her. And he was the high priest, and he said, "May Yahweh grant this to you." And she said, "Let your handmaid find grace in your sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, worshiped before Yahweh, returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Connor, his wife, and Yahweh remembered her. Therefore, it came to pass, when the time had come, about after Connor had conceived, that she bore a son, called his name Samuel, because I've asked him of Yahweh. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto Yahweh yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Connor went not up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before Yahweh, and there remain forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, "Do what seems you good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only Yahweh establishes word." So the woman stayed, gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and three bullocks, one ephah flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of Yahweh in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock, brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my master, as your soul lives, my master, I am the woman that stood by you here praying unto Yahweh. For this child I pray, and Yahweh has given me my petition which I've asked him. Therefore also I've lent him to Yahweh. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to Yahweh." And he worshiped Yahweh there. This is the condition of a vow, where you will vow a vow, make a promise, swear by an oath, and then the thing that you ask come to pass, because you said you would do such and such thing for Yahweh. And as Yahweh delivered, so do Yahweh expect you to deliver. Another example, in the book of Jonah, let us turn there. In the book of Jonah, and we're going to in the book of Jonah, the second chapter, and watch what it says. The very first verse. Then Jonah prayed unto Yahweh his Elohim out of the fish belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto Yahweh, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea. The floods compassed me about. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water encompassed me about, even to the soul. The depth enclosed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet have you brought up my life from corruption, O Yahweh, my Elohim. When my soul fainted within me, I remember Yahweh. And my prayer came in unto you, into your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And you got to, I'm going to read that again so you can try to understand it. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, because oftentimes we observe lying vanities and wonder why we have no mercy from Yahweh. We forsake our own mercy because of the lying vanities we observe. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of Yahweh. And Yahweh spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's what it did. And why? Because Jonah knew that he was a dead man. But he prayed unto Yahweh. And Yahweh delivered him. And Jonah said, I will pay my vow. But then the foolish also vowed. And what do the scriptures say about that? In the book of Judges, the 11th chapter, this is why you got to be careful when you vow a vow. And I'm going to read the verse, starting at the first verse, before I get right into the vow. But I want you to see the type of man this is, even before we get into the vow. And watch what it says in the book of Judges, the 11th chapter, the very first verse. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. This is what he was. And he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. And Gilead wife bore him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said to him, you shall not inherit in our father's house, for you are the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers, dwelt in the land of Tob, and watch what it says. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with them. And what does vain mean? Vain men is men that cares about nothing except for vanity. They vain men. And oftentimes that's who we counsel with. That's who we tell our business. That's who we get business from. That's who we get our news from. This is who we become our confidants. Vain people. You know they vain. But yet you will with them as if they're holy. Well, this is what Jephthah did. The only people that was around him was vain men. Fourth verse. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me? Expel me out of my father's house? And why have you come to me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, therefore we turn again to you now, that you may go with us, fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and Yahweh delivers them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, Yahweh be witness between us if we do not so according to your words. So in other words, Jephthah himself was fool. He was foolish. And the children of Israel, instead of trusting in Yahweh, they put a foolish man over them and then promised to make them, to make him their head. And Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before Yahweh in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what have you to do with me, that you have come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered to the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came out of Egypt, from Arnon even to Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peacefully. And Jephthah sent messengers again to the king of the children of Ammon and said to him, thus says Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon, because Moab and Ammon were Lot children. Watch what it says. But when Israel came up from Egypt, walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers to the king of Israel, Edom, saying, let me, I pray you, pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not listen thereto. And in like manner, they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel stayed in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness, compassed the land of Edom, the land of Moab, came by the east side of the land of Moab, pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. Israel sent to him, let us pass, we pray you, through your land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together, pitched in Yahaz, and fought against Israel. And Jephthah is basically recounting all the various wars and stories. Children of to the king of Ammon. And then it gets down to the the 25th verse. And now all you, let's go back to the 23rd verse. So now Yahweh Elohim of Israel has disposed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you possess it? Would not you possess that which the deity gives you to possess? So whomever Yahweh our Elohim shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. And now are you anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her town, and in the world, her town, and in all the cities that are along by the coast of Arnon for 300 years, why therefore did you not recover them within that time? Therefore I have not sinned against you, but you do me wrong to war against me. Yahweh the judge is judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. However, the king of children of Ammon listened not to the words of Jephthah, which he sent to him. Then the spirit of Yahweh came upon Jephthah, passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpeh of Gilead. And from Mizpeh of Gilead, he passed over to the children of Ammon. And watch the 30th verse. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto Yahweh and said, listen to this vow very closely. If you shall without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatever comes forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be Yahweh, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Did you hear the vow? What did Jephthah think that was going to come out of his doors to meet him? A lamb, a bullock, cattle will run out the door and meet any man but a dog or a cat or a person. What kind of foolish vow is this? Did he think a goat was going to come running out and be happy to see his master? A chicken? A rat? What did he think was going to come out of that door to meet him? Well, let us see. So Jephthah passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them. And Yahweh delivered them into his hand. And he smote them from a war, even till you come to minute, even 20 cities, plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpeh, to his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are one of them that troubles me. For I open my mouth unto Yahweh and I cannot go back." In other words, she didn't trouble you. You troubled her. And she said to him, "My father, if you have opened your mouth unto Yahweh, do to me according to that which has proceeded out of your mouth. For as much as Yahweh has taken vengeance for you of your enemies, even of the children of Ammon." And she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail, meaning mourn, my virginity." In other words, she didn't have no husband or anything. "I am my companion, her girlfriend." And he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and mourned her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. This is what they did. One might ask, was this the law? Well, the only law is what you vow, you got to pay. But this vow was wicked. And yes, it was. And whether he paid it or not, Yahweh, even though he delivered Ammon into his hand, this thing that Yahweh sent and got from Jephthah was great wickedness. And he had to live the rest of his life childless. So we have to be careful about the things that come out of our mouth. We have to be more careful about the vows that we make unto Yahweh. Because you only can make a vow unto Yahweh. You can't make a vow unto your wife. You can't make a wife cannot make a vow unto her husband. Your vow is to bind your soul, to swear and promise to Yahweh whatever you might do. It's to him. It's not to your husband. It's not to your wife. It's to the Most High. And as we can see, Yahweh wants you to pay your vows. The last scripture. There's something that I wanted to read that I did not read in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. And this is what it says. The very first verse, Ecclesiastes 5:1. And this is what it says. Keep your foot when you go to the house of Elohim and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And watch this second verse, because this is the verse that I want you to see and try your best. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim. For Elohim is in heaven, and you upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Now think about this, because a lot of people say they like to talk. A lot of people say, I'm just a talker. Well, watch this. I want you to see this. Third verse, a dream comes through the multitude of business. You're doing so many things that now the very many things that you're doing have even entered into your sleep, into your dreams. But watch the very next thing you say. And a fool's voice is known by his multitude of words. And a lot of people don't know. The more they talk, the more foolish they sound, the more they sin, and the more they get things wrong. I know it. Others know it. But the person that's running off at the mouth typically don't. And they don't realize by being rash. They don't realize by giving the sacrifices of fools that they are doing the very thing that one comes to the realization, to the knowledge, that all the multitude of words that they're speaking, this is a fool. So please, brothers and sisters, let your words be few. Pay your vows unto Elohim. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Yeah, 39 books. Yeah, come on. Yo. Speak thee out the book, we die and read. Speak these words, the flames of hope and speed. Obey his voice, know him and believe. Understand his shot is none but he. In the beginning, he told us the ending that we wasn't winning because of the sin in the 400 centuries. He shot us defending. He's a prophetic, and this is our genesis. So I exit this single video. Number of our days, the teachers that we were the slaves, and Deuteronomy, you only gave the most popular. When he anointed Joshua, it's proving that y'all love us by sending the judges, rejecting the grudges, embracing the truth of the nations of truth. It's shown for proof the woman that they will come through. Teach Samuel 1:8-2. Y'all chosen the kings, and you want to. Recognition chronicles in the first and the second, and Ezra Hakohen, back by the river Ahava, stood with Nehemiah in the time of Hadassah. Known as Esther, Job struck with disease and boils at Festus. And we giving our arms while singing Hebrew songs, the most wise words spoken in Proverbs, the collect, the teacher, Ecclesiastes, the preacher. preacher. Fellas wanna reach us. Quote the song, the songs belong to style Lamar. Understand the way that I'm on. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Jerusalem fell. Also seen by Ezekiel. Visions in the given to Daniel. God said to turn to him in prayer. Remember Hosea. If we call on Yahweh, he'll remember as well. Spoken by your El. There's no other book as famous the words get deeper in angels. Thank you.